Text 117. Doris Lessing. The bush avenged itself.
She was on the veranda. She moved backwards till she was pressed against the wall. That was protected. She was standing as she should be, as she knew she had to wait. It steadied her. The fog of terror cleared from her eyes, and she could see, as the lightning flickered, that the two farm dogs were lying with lifted heads, looking at her on the veranda. Beyond the three slim pillars and the stiff outlines of the geranium plants, nothing could be seen until the lightning plunged again, when the crowding shoulders of the trees showed against a cloud-packed sky. She thought that, as she watched, they moved nearer, and she pressed back against the wall with all her strength, so that she could feel the rough brick pricking through her nightgown into her flesh. She shook her head to clear it, and the trees stood still and waited. It seemed to her that as long as she could fix her attention on them, they could not creep up to her. She knew she must keep her mind on three things: the trees, so that they should not rush on her unawares, the door to one side of her where Dick might come, and the lightning that ran and danced, illuminating stormy ranges of cloud. Her feet firmly planted on the tepid rough brick of the floor, her back held against the wall, she crouched and stared, all her senses stretched, rigidly breathing in little gasps. Then, as she heard the thunder growl and shake in the trees, the sky lit up, and she saw a man's shape move out from the dark and come towards her, gliding silently up the steps, while the dogs stood alertly watching, their tails swinging in welcome. 2 yards away, Moses stopped. She could see his great shoulders, the shape of his head, the glistening of his eyes. And at the sight of him, her emotions unexpectedly shifted, to create in her an extraordinary feeling of guilt. But towards him, to whom she had been disloyal, and at the bidding of the Englishman. She felt she had only to move forward, to explain, to appeal, and the terror would be dissolved. She opened her mouth to speak, and as she did so, saw his hand, which held a long, curving shape, lifted above his head. And she knew it would be too late. All her past slid away, and her mouth, opened in appeal, let out the beginning of a scream, which was stopped by a black wedge of hand inserted between her jaws. But the scream continued, in her stomach, choking her, and she lifted her hands claw-like to ward him off. And then the bush avenged itself. That was her last thought. The trees advanced in a rush like beasts, and the thunder was the noise of their coming. As the brain at last gave way, collapsing in a ruin of horror, she saw over the big arm that forced her head back against the wall, the other arm descending. Her limbs sagged under her, the lightning leapt out from the dark and darted down the plunging steel. Moses, letting her go, saw her roll to the floor. A steady drumming sound on the iron overhead brought him to knowledge of his surroundings, and he started up, turning his head this way and that, straightening his body. The dogs were growling at his feet, but their tails still swung. This man had fed them and looked after them. Mary had disliked them. Moses clouted them back softly, his open palm to their faces, and they stood watching him, puzzled and whining softly. It was beginning to rain. Big drops blew in across Moses' back, chilling him. And another dripping sound made him look down at the piece of metal he held, which he had picked up in the bush and had spent the day polishing and sharpening. The blood trickled off it onto the brick floor. And a curious division of purpose showed itself in his next movements. First, he dropped the weapon sharply on the floor as if in fear. Then he checked himself and picked it up. He held it over the veranda wall under the now drenching downpour and in a few moments withdrew it. Now he hesitated, looking about him. He thrust the metal in his belt, held his hands under the rain, and, cleansed, prepared to walk off through the rain to his hut in the compound, ready to protest his innocence. This purpose, too, passed. He pulled out the weapon, looked at it, and simply tossed it down beside Mary, suddenly indifferent, for a new need possessed him. Ignoring Dick, who was asleep through one thickness of wall, but who was unimportant since he had been defeated long ago, Moses vaulted over the veranda wall, alighting squarely on his feet in the squelch of rain which sluiced off his shoulders, soaking him in an instant. He moved off towards the Englishman's hut through the drenching blackness, water to his calves. At the door he peered in. It was impossible to see, but he could hear. Holding his own breath, he listened intently through the sound of the rain for the Englishman's breathing. But he could hear nothing. He stooped through the doorway and walked quietly to the bedside. His enemy, whom he had outwitted, was asleep. Contemptuously, the native turned away and walked back to the house. It seemed he intended to pass it, but as he came level with the veranda, he paused, resting his hand on the wall, looking over. It was black, too dark to see. He waited for the watery glimmer of lightning to illuminate, for the last time, the small house, the veranda, the huddled shape of Mary on the brick, and the dogs who were moving restlessly about her, still whining gently but uncertainly. It came, a prolonged drench of light, like a wet dawn. And this was his final moment of triumph, a moment so perfect and complete that it took the urgency from thoughts of escape, leaving him indifferent. When the dark returned, he took his hand from the wall and walked slowly off through the rain towards the bush. Though what thoughts of regret, or pity, or perhaps even wounded human affection were compounded with the satisfaction of his completed revenge, it is impossible to say. For when he had gone perhaps a couple of hundred yards through the soaking bush, he stopped, turned aside, and leaned against a tree on an antheap. And there he would remain until his pursuers, in their turn, came to find him.